This is Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bektesh. Thanks for joining us for our candidate chat series leading up to the May 2nd election in Aspen. My guest is Art Daly, running to keep his seat on Aspen City Council. Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here. We're going to let you open up with an opening statement or a reason why you're running.
You know, I wrote something short earlier in the week for a different purpose, and I thought I'd just kind of read that.
Perfect.
I decided to run for council 4 years ago because I wanted to give something back. In 1995, I experienced a terrible tragedy in Glenwood Canyon, and this town showed up to support me in ways I can't describe. I felt I knew the town and its people and issues well enough to help on city council. Now it's time to put what I've learned during my first term to work. I believe I bring a balance to the council, which can be a meaningful contribution in a strong-minded community. This is our town. Let's do what we can to leave it an even better place than it is today.
Thank you. So I read an interview with you on, I think, the Aspen Skinny blog 4 years ago when you were running, and there were questions about what you might face in the next 4 years, what big things might come in front of you, and you said, I don't know, I'm going to see how I react when they come up. I'm wondering what you have learned over the last 4 years. Do you know more now about being a council person than you did when you were running the first time?
Well, surely I do. Yeah. You know, I think it took a couple of years to kind of settle in. You're never quite sure, you know, what the community wants to hear, what kind of actions the community would like to see us achieve. And so it took a few years to kind of get comfortable in the role.
Can you think of moments that were like a learning curve where maybe you would do it differently if you knew then what you know now?
Well, I think I learned early on that the more thoughtful, the better. You don't just start talking as soon as you're given the mic. The more opportunity I had to think about a subject, the better the answer.
So anyone who's watching council will notice that about you, that you're not as vocal in the conversation as the other members. That's you contemplating and trying to make sure when you speak it's powerful?
It's probably true that I am one of the least talkative council members. We all get plenty of time to talk. It's just, I think I do spend a little more time thinking about it than maybe some of the others do. And I try not to dominate conversation. You can usually get your point made in a short period of time.
What actions have you taken in the 4 years that you've been on council that you're really running on to retain your seat? What actions have you taken that show you are doing what's best for Aspen or you are listening to the public?
Well, I think the most important thing we've done in the past 4 years is the significant regulatory reworking that we accomplished during the moratorium. I am, and I think all the other members of council are really proud of that work. We put a great deal of time in on it. We were incredibly well led by Jessica Garrow and her team. We've dramatically rewritten the regulatory land use code.
That's going to downsize a little bit definitely the trend that we were seeing in building in Aspen. Is that what you think is best for Aspen? Is less buildings, smaller buildings?
I'm into, you know, I believe in just moderate redevelopment in Aspen. Aspen is not going to experience the kind of new development that we had 10, 15 years ago. Aspen is significantly built out, both commercially and residentially. And so what we're now seeing is redevelopment.
Right.
Both commercial core and residential. I was talking to Jessica Garrow again the other day about the residential redevelopment applications that are beginning to flow in. And she said they're dominating the community development department's agenda. Because there's a lot of residential out there that is aging. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's a great deal of money flowing in. The economy is powerful. And so people want bigger and better. And it's not going to be bigger that much. We have pretty well resolved, I think, in the last year. Particularly the commercial area
is
I think we've got some good controls on the framework of commercial redevelopment. Height, you know, width, mass. I think it's going to be a more comfortable building environment going forward.
How does that improve the town or the way people experience the town?
Well, I guess that's all a matter of your perspective, but I like this town in its modest presentation, its modest size. We've had a few buildings that were and are oversized, and they continue to generate the most criticism. That's typical of anything that's the biggest. You're going to hear more about it. But I think that I'm more comfortable in an environment where there's the sizing of things is modest.
In your time on the council this last term, did you stand up against any big developments or any commercial?
The one that turned into a bit of a battleground for a couple of months was the first Hotel Aspen redevelopment that came forward. And it wasn't so much it was both a lodging development, and it had behind it, it extended into the residential neighborhoods. And the part that went into the residential area, in my opinion, was oversized. And I got into a bit of a pitched battle with the developer about that, which went on for three meetings at least. There were only four votes. Someone recused themselves. And so they had to have a fourth positive vote in order to, you know, move forward with the project. And it's not something I was necessarily, you know, planning. This battle went on for, about 2 months, where we were just, the voting was stymied. It was 2-2. And at the last minute, what I was trying to do was get them to reduce the size of the residential that was moving into that neighborhood. And the last minute, the last meeting, it was still tied. And because they just wouldn't budge. And at the last second, the Browns said, "Can we have 5 minutes?" They went out of the room, came back in, and said, "All right, okay, we're going to remove one of these residential structures from the development, which will significantly downsize the residential component." And we moved ahead.
Okay. Wasn't it Hotel Aspen that just had an approval for a height variance?
It did.
And there was an editorial earlier this week criticizing that. I want to give you a chance to defend yourself. When do you approve variances? What do you take into consideration? Why do you think it's okay sometimes?
Well, interestingly, if that wasn't a variance, had it been a variance in today's marketplace, you'd have to take it out to the voters.
Okay.
And so what that was more or less a special exception, and I think it was because the applicant had brought this forward before certain legislation now in place had been adopted. So I think they had kind of a small window in which to to try to accomplish it. And what they had done, as I understand it, I don't know the Brown brothers personally, but they'd gone back and they had their approval. And they could not get comfortable with what they were going to market with. It's a three-story lodge, and they just concluded that their rooms were too low. And they have, you know, it's three stories, so each story had rooms that were under 8 feet in height. And that's, they just went out in the marketplace and found that there's just not, it's not marketable.
Okay.
That size. This is their
right.
Their story. They made a very good presentation on the alternatives. They were basically saying, hey, we can't build this lodge economically at the size we've gotten it approved. What they were asking for was an additional 4 feet on the central part of the lodge where the rooms were. And that ultimately was what was approved. They were asking to have that additional 4 feet spread over three floors equally. So they were getting, you know, an additional foot plus
right.
in height for each of their lodge units, which was a much more viable lodge structure. They did a lot of comparisons with other lodges in town and elsewhere. And, you know, the sizing they were trying to achieve was a much more marketable, much more commonly found.
So in that example, it was, you take it case by case. If someone comes to you and they say, this is literally make or break for our business, you're more sympathetic.
Well, it was not so much... I don't think that I or Ann were necessarily sold on the economics.
Okay.
That's really not our worry. But you do want a viable lodge. And lodging is such a critical component of our community. And when I first got on council, the ski company came to us and said, listen, guys, next 4 or 8 years, you've got to approve some more lodges. We've lost more than 20, 25% of our lodging base in the past 15 years or something like that. But there haven't been that many new projects lodging brought forward. There's some coming. But we look at those awfully carefully because they're pretty important to the economy of our town. Anyway, this particular project, you know, despite the tenor of the letter to the editor yesterday, I still think, frankly, I think it was the right decision. I think it's going to be a more successful lodge, a more fun lodge to be in. I don't think we've done much to the that environment in that area by adding a few feet.
A couple times you've mentioned how council works with city staff, with the planning department over the moratorium. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What do you see the council's role and city staff's role in the joint governance of Aspen?
Well, the city staff's role is the vital role. First of all, they know their codes inside and out, particularly Jessica and her team. That's community development. And they are... You know, I've found over the last couple of years they are very, very competent, and they really do care about the effect of what they are recommending and what it's going to do to our built environment, what it does to the marketplace. You know, you don't want to discourage all developments. You don't want to encourage too much. So they work constantly to strike a balance. And they have a real strong sense of community character. It isn't just that they're doing a little, you know, doing their work in a closed room. I think they really represent our community very well. And if you bring a land use application to these folks, it's going to be carefully vetted.
So when you read your packet every weekend, are you getting the staff recommendation cliff notes? Are you going to there and mostly siding with staff? I mean, that's whose opinion you rely on?
I would say that I tend to lean towards supporting staff and its recommendations. They're the experts. They're the ones that are seeing it all, you know, day in and day out. The pressure's on them. And to try to recommend things that are going to be in the interest of the community, not just short-term, but long-term. And I've come to the particular staff we're working with now, I've come to very much respect their judgment. I mean, sometimes they make some recommendations that I can't get my arms around, and I try to come to a different conclusion. But normally, I find myself very much in line with the high-level staff recommendations.
What if you are on council? I know this was asked of you. This is what I read, and so I want to see how the answer has changed. If you're on council for another 4 years, what issues are you going to be facing? Well, let's just start with that. What's coming up, and are you the guy to face them?
Well, I think that the issues that are going to face the council in the next 4 years are not going to be so much zoning and redevelopment issues. I think that we're really struggling with traffic, parking, the traffic flows in and out of town, the S-curves, things like that, I think are going to receive greater attention in the next 4 years than they have in the last four. There've been lots of discussion about a lot of conversations. I think the parking issues are beginning to be better understood. And we're going to find, I think, throughout, not just us, but throughout the country, that parking, the whole dynamic is shifting. People are going to be driving different kinds of cars. We're going to see much more electric vehicle, many more of those on the road. We're going to see more and more self-driving cars, and I think we're going to see a more and more people collectively using automobiles.
How does council address parking? What would council do about that?
Well, the first thing we've done is this fellow Mitch Oser, who was hired some years back, has turned out to be a marvelous representative of the community with respect to parking. He understands it deeply, and he's making, you know, a lot of capable decisions about how to improve our parking downtown. He's been given increasing responsibility in the downtown area, and I think he's a home run when it comes to you need experts, people with good judgment, with some background in these things, and I think he really is qualified for that. And he's helping us to examine our parking environment and make decisions that can improve upon that parking.
You do have note cards on the table. I'll remind you that if anybody in the audience has questions, I have a couple left and then we'll be done. So start, put your thinking caps on. Any other big issues coming up, and why you specifically to address them, to stay on council? And
well, I don't know about me specifically.
But, you're running.
Well, I've got it's an issue by issue matter as well. But one of the things that I think, you know, obviously I bring to the table is 4 years of experience.
Okay.
And you learn to get more comfortable at the council table, and I find that I'm much more comfortable exercising my judgment in each case and speaking my mind than perhaps I was a couple of years ago when you're not quite sure. You're catching your balance. But I think that we've got mass transit issues coming up that are going to be very significant for Aspen and for the entire valley.
That's what interests me, too, about the transportation and entrance to Aspen question. This is an Aspen municipal election. Only people who live in Aspen are the registered voters who are voting for you. They don't have to make the commute into Aspen at 9 a.m. every morning. So how do you weigh all the Valley residents who use Aspen and work Aspen and power Aspen versus your electorate, those who live in Aspen? Are you hearing different things from them? Who do you represent?
Well, you know, I think there hasn't been a lot of conversation before in council chambers about mass transit yet. It's been more of a valley-wide conversation. You know, of course, the county's involved. Our Down Valley communities are becoming more and more involved. Mass transit's going to, you know, run all the way from Glenwood to Aspen. And in the event there is a mass transit system built someday. And now there's a sense that mass transit could significantly reduce the amount of traffic on the road.
And so how does council influence what we do with mass transit?
Well, partly it's a funding issue.
Okay.
But more importantly, we have traffic flow experts on our staff, and they work. We work closely with RAFTA and the Up and Down Valley groups that are serving all of our communities. And so issues like this are not just Aspen oriented. The solutions are going to require the entire valley and all those communities to participate in significant ways, not just financially, but there's going to be land involved, and it'll be very interesting to see the direction that the valley goes in the next 4 to 8 years on mass transit.
Do you see yourself, if you are reelected, bringing any specific ordinance or regulation to the table? Are you going to introduce anything?
There isn't anything that's on my plate that I feel, I need to introduce. And it's interesting. I don't really bring to the council a personal agenda. I more tend to take what is brought to us and do my best to put it into the context of, what have recent years shown us work and don't work. And you try to learn from, we try to learn from history and make better decisions as time goes on. But no, I don't have a strong personal agenda that I bring to the table.
It's a crowded field. I think you just touched on this a little bit, but I'm going to pull it out of you a little bit more. What sets you apart from the other candidates? If someone's reading your name along with everyone else on the ballot, why vote you?
Oh, I guess that's a good question. I think that the part of it is, I think I've gotten to know the community and the people in our community pretty well over the years. I've been here almost 50 years. And I have a deep-seated love for our town and the people in it that really I don't think I could have developed anywhere else. And that part of it's unique circumstances, but I have come to have a very strong feeling for the people of our town. This town shows up and continues to do it in ways that are just amazing. We take care of each other. I see it in so many different ways. My wife, Allison, is the director of Pathfinders. And I watch what she's able to achieve and what her group's able to do. They're out there in the line of fire, in the midst of pain and grief every day. There's a significant, every community experiences it. Losses, injuries, and family issues. And this town has an amazing facility and energy for taking care of one another when the chips are down.
If you are not reelected, do you see yourself staying involved in local politics?
I don't know necessarily about local politics. I've retired just at the end of last year from my work as a partner with Holland & Hart, my legal work. And I'm just finishing up a variety of matters that I've been working on for years. So that will go on for another couple of months. But basically, I'm retiring from that practice. I've done it for a long time. And I'm kind of excited about tapping into different activities in the community. I'm going to work with Allison. She, whenever there's a male that suffers grief and loss at some level, she's found that if she can get me working with that gentleman, it can be very helpful. Men, we're finding, tend to, and this is probably not new, but men tend to open more, you know, more comfortably with other men when they're talking about things that are deeply painful for them. And, you know, I learned a good deal about this whole area years back, and I've in recent years been putting it more and more to use, and I enjoy the work. I found I can reach out and touch other men in ways that can really make a difference, help them move through some of this stuff. So that's something that I will continue to do.
Thanks for sharing that. There's one question about Gorsuch House, which you have recused yourself from, so I just want to let the audience know that, and if you want to explain why.
Sure. My law firm represents the applicant. And so before I even took office, before I even ran for office, we knew that this matter was coming forward in the next year or two. So I talked to Jim True about it and, you know, learned that I'm going to be needing to recuse myself from any matters involving Gorsuch House. So that, and I have done that, of course. I've stayed out of that conversation. Much as I would rather have played a part in it. But the, you know, I think that I will be fully retired from the firm probably in the next 60 days.
Okay.
Once, you know, these remaining matters are finished. And at that point in time, I'm going back to Jim True. He and I have had brief conversations about it to find out his perspective on can I now play a role.
So this is something you're really interested in, you wish you were engaged in. I know it's a pending application, first of all, and you've recused yourself, so I can't dig in too specifically on Gorsuch House, but why is that an important issue to you?
You know, I just happen to think that it's an important project. I don't, as you said, I don't want to get too deeply into the details at this point.
Okay.
But I think there's no question. It's a very important proposed development for our community, both in terms of location, the whole context over there of that part of town. It's been ripe for better development for a number of years, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I remember five, 6 years ago, there were big community-wide gatherings where these issues were discussed, and that particular part of town was very carefully looked at as, well, what can we do to revitalize that part of town? And this Gorsuch House proposal is the kind of development, I think, that belongs at the base of the mountain.
You can take Art aside and ask him questions in private during our mingling session here. We're going to close the official interview. I hope everyone got their questions in. Over to Kristen. Okay, Art, thank you so much for spending time this morning.
Well, thank you for your thoughtful questions. I enjoyed talking with you. You're it's comfortable.
Good. Good. Art Daly is running to keep his seat on Aspen City Council. You're listening to Candidate Chats on Aspen Public Radio. Thank you.